Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School at Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame and sugar when we come back. You know, over the past century, we Americans who were once independent, capable, and able to manage our own financial, medical, and legal affairs have now been reduced to dependence, incompetence, incapacity. We've been made wards of powerful commercial, financial, medical, and legal corporations, cartels, and bureaucratic institutions in our modern industrial society. And we've been taught to rely upon these paid professionals, professionals like bankers to manage our financial affairs, and doctors to manage and treat our health problems, and lawyers to direct our business and legal affairs, instead of relying upon our own good common sense. That's why I contend that it's time that we Americans who were once able to catch our own fish learn once again how to fish, instead of being fed by these paid professionals. Regaining our power of attorney is the single most important step in regaining our capacity, rights, liberties, and duties. Now, if you'd like to learn more about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you write for my free general law CD package? It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about aspartame. What's wrong with it? It tastes pretty good to me. If it tastes good, does that mean it's good for you? Well, aspartame is a poison. It causes 92 symptoms. The chief symptom that aspartame causes is death. D-E-A-T-H. Death. That's right. It's a toxic substance that ultimately will kill you. But you never see anybody with a death certificate marked aspartame poisoning. It's always marked with one of the 92 symptoms. You died from muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, or you died from some of those toxic reactions that you get from this poison. And, of course, you're asking the question, how in the world can a toxic poison be put in our food? And that's what we've been looking at. From 1969 to 1979, the FDA would not approve for everyday garden variety use this product called aspartame. They gave it limited use in 1975 based upon a lot of false information produced by the manufacturer Searle, which is now known as Monsanto. Monsanto bought out Searle Pharmaceutical. Well, this Searle company over here hired a guy by the name of Donald Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld, who was calling in his marker, said that he'd get it approved in a year. So the FDA in 1979, who normally is required to review substantive objections before approving a product as a drug or a food additive, this normally is done through public hearings, which are conducted by administrative law judges. But in this case, the FDA suggested instead that the public board, a public board of inquiry be formed, made up of three scientists rather than judges. So the FDA said, well, we need to get this stuff approved. Donald Rumsfeld is calling in his markers. So we're not going to take it through the regular channels. We're going to create a scientific panel. We're going to rig the panel so that we'll get the result that we want. And I asked you last time, after I described this panel and gave you the names of the three panelists, Peter J. Lampert, who was an MD and professor and chairman of the Department of Pathology at the University of California in San Diego, Vernon R. Young, PhD and professor of nutritional biochemistry, MIT, and chaired the Wally Nutra, MD, PhD, Institute of Professor, Department of Psychology and Brain Science at MIT. These are the three guys who were the panel. They comprised the panel, the slam dunk panel, that is designed to get this aspartame approved by the FDA. And when this panel got through, they voted 3-0 against aspartame. Now get this. Here's a fixed, rigged outcome. And this aspartame was so bad that the three scientists who had been picked for a fixed and rigged outcome voted against it. It was that bad. I mean, you've got to have something that's really terrible if you rig the outcome and it still is voted against. But Donald Rumsfeld is not to be outdone. Dr. Nada expressed the board's concerns of the safety of aspartame because they did not investigate the validity of Searle's tests, but only their results. The board did conclude, however, that the available data on laboratory rats did not rule out the possibility of aspartame causing brain tumors, and that indeed the evidence suggested that aspartame might induce brain tumors. So the next time you hear of somebody with a brain tumor, it was probably caused by aspartame. I want to point out that in 1900, the incidence of cancer was 1 in 33. That is, out of every 33 people in the general population in 1900, one of those could expect to get cancer in his lifetime. Today, it's 1 in 2, headed for 1 in 1 in the next 15 years. So cancer today is a pretty common malady. In 1900, it was very rare. But, of course, we didn't have aspartame in 1900, did we? Now, we now have 87,000 chemicals. Probably in 1900, we had 100 or 200 chemicals. Today, we got 87,000. And we wonder why we have more and more disease. Well, you get more and more chemicals, more and more toxins working on your body. They can come in the form of air pollution, water pollution, food pollution. I've asked the question a couple of times. I said, is there anything in a supermarket, a modern American supermarket, fit for human consumption? Because if there is, would you please write me an email, a letter, or call me on the phone and tell me what it is? I would like to know of just one thing that you ingest by eating in a modern American supermarket that is fit for human consumption. Name one, would you please? Now, in 1980, this time, a five-member commission. Now, our three-member rigged commission didn't work. So this time, we're going to rig up a five-member commission to get the job done. So a five-member commissioner's team of scientists was impaneled because of the negative findings of the Public Board of Inquiry. By now, there was so much data to look at that the members were given different assignments. Different assignments, five members. Three members were asked to investigate the brain tumor issue, and two others were asked to look at the brain damage, mental retardation, and endocrine problems. The three members looking at the brain tumor studies expressed serious concern because the data showed that aspartame ingestion caused them. Got that? Let me repeat that. The three members that were looking at brain tumor studies expressed serious concern because the data showed that aspartame ingestion causes brain tumors. Now, the FDA impaneled these five scientists and said, find out, would you? And they did, and they found out it causes brain tumors. The three members looking at the brain tumor study expressed serious concern because the data showed that aspartame ingestion caused them. The two others expressed satisfaction that aspartame did not seem to cause any brain damage. Then, for some unexplained reason, a sixth member was appointed to the team, apparently to make it look like a deadlock. The end result was that three members pronounced aspartame safe and three concluded that aspartame was dangerous. So we couldn't get a five-member panel to agree. 3-2 is the way they came down against aspartame. This was the second rigged panel. I mean, my God, boys and girls, if you can't get something done with a rigged panel, it must be pretty bad stuff, wouldn't you say? So they put a sixth member on there so that they could show the panel was deadlocked. They couldn't come to a conclusion. So the deadlocked report carried great weight in getting aspartame approved by the FDA. Jacqueline Verrett, PhD, toxicologist and a senior member of the review team, was extremely critical of the way the review was done. And she stated, quote, it was pretty obvious that somewhere along the line the Bureau officials were working up to a whitewash. She said that the Bureau of Foods under Howard Roberts discarded or ignored the problems and deficiencies that were outlined by the team report. In part, she stated that it is unthinkable that any reputable toxicologist giving a completely objective evaluation of the data resulting from such a study could conclude anything other than that the study was uninterpretable and worthless and should be repeated as the safety questions still remained unanswered, unquote. Further in 1980, taken from brain damage in mice from voluntary ingestion of glutamate and aspartate, neurobehavioral toxicology, aspartate, salt of ascorbic acid, a component of aspartame, is glutamate's close structural analog. We cannot take comfort, therefore, in the fact that humans have been exposed for many years without apparent harm. If harm did occur, we would not detect it except perhaps years later in the form of obesity or neuroendocrine disturbances such as are known to occur in rodents following glutamate treatment in infancy. So in 1981, Satya Dubey, a senior FDA statistician, stated in a memo that the brain tumor data was so worrisome that he could not recommend approval of NutraSweet. Now we're getting down to statistics. Now they've been watching this stuff since 1975. So in 6 years, from 75 to 81, 7 years, they come to the conclusion, at least this statistician working for the FDA says, hey, wait a minute. Statistically, we think that we got a problem here with this aspartame. 1981, Dr. Anthony Hull Hayes, Jr. was appointed the new FDA commissioner in April of 1981. It is of interest to note that although the petition to approve aspartame was denied in September of 1980, Searle waited until Reagan's administration took office in January of 1981 to reapply for approval. Then, Reagan himself, however, has been quoted as saying, "We quit using the stuff because we just don't know what's in it." One could ask, if he doesn't know, who does? Well, it appears that even Searle's own representatives are confused. Denise Ertel, Searle's public affairs director, has said, "Phenylalanine is a fermentation byproduct of soybeans and corn. The aspartic acid is a total synthesis from hydrocarbons, petrochemical derivatives." Fairbanks RD and M. Koppel RD, nutrition counselors for Burston Merslier, Searle's public relations firm, have said that neither one is a petrochemical derivative. Jerry Gall, MD, Searle's vice president of nutrition and medical affairs, has said that phenylalanine might not come from soybeans and corn. 1981. In July, Dr. Arthur Hull Hayes, Jr. overruled the Public Board of Inquiry's recommendation that aspartame should not be approved for marketing until further animal testing was conducted to resolve the brain tumor issue. Two FDA officials told Common Cause that Hayes made it clear that he wanted to push aspartame forward in order to signal that the Reagan administration was ushering in new reform. He granted approval of aspartame for use in dry foods and as a table sugar substitute, ignoring the fact that according to law, if tests are found to be inconclusive, an additive is not supposed to be approved by the FDA. Well, there you have it, boys and girls. Two rigged panels voted against it. The FDA found that the Searle Company lied 13 times in their studies that their scientific methodology was a joke. The product was up for approval from 69 to 81, and finally it was approved by one man, the head of the FDA, who was put in by Ronald Reagan. And remember, it was Donald Rumsfeld, now who is the president of Searle, in 1981, got paid $3.5 million for this project, for this job. He called in his markers. He said, "Hey, boys, you owe me these political favors. Now pay me. This is what I want." And that's what they got. So it has to do with politics, money, and power. It has nothing to do with health, safety, and welfare of the public. Now, I'm not on some kick to get aspartame taken out of the supermarkets. I don't care if they poison the food in the supermarkets. I don't eat the crap to start with, so it's not a problem to me. So there. But, you know, just to be a nice guy, I thought, well, gee, maybe I should tell you people out there this story. I heard this story, and I knew about this problem, and I know that this aspartame is in just about every food you can imagine, every diet food. Every sugarless food, you know, no sugar added or sugarless or whatever. I know that the poison's in there. It's a toxin. It's deadly. It kills people. And it's the kind of poison, and if you've got a National Geographic, I'm looking at the May 2005 National Geographic magazine, and the lead article is called Poison, 12 Toxic Tales. And in the National Geographic, there are some poisons in 12 Toxic Tales that cannot be traced. Aspartame's one of them. You can kill somebody with aspartame and never find out. Now, you can't do that with arsenic. You used to. Arsenic used to be the number one political assassination poison. It's not anymore because you can detect it now. See? But there are some poisons that are not detectable, and aspartame is one of them. And that's because you do not die from aspartame poisoning. The aspartame causes the tumor, and you die from cancer, and then your death certificate says, oh, the guy died from cancer. Well, you wouldn't have got the cancer without the aspartame. And that's just one of the 92 symptoms. And there's a whole list of diseases that are caused by aspartame. And that's not my opinion. That's the FDA's opinion. They're the ones that studied it, but they didn't put that out for public consumption. So the group that put it out is called the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network. They're just one of a lot of people that are politically aligned against aspartame and are trying to get it removed, trying to make right something that's wrong. That's pretty hard to do. You know, you're fighting against some multi-billion dollar corporation with paid lobbyists and a bought and paid for Congress. I mean, they just, you're watching now, aren't you, this guy Abramoff, and how he bribed about 20 congressmen, and how he used influence peddling and so on. Hey, boys and girls, that's just the one guy that got caught. Lobbying in Washington is a $2 billion a year business. I mean, these corporations pay guys like Abramoff $2 billion a year. There's thousands of these guys running around the Capitol building who are offering your senator and representative a trip to the Bahamas or a trip to Hawaii or offering them. See, they can't give them cash. I mean, they can't walk into the senator's office and say, look, let me give you $50,000, vote no on Proposition D. See, that's bribery. That's against the law. We don't allow that in America. So what they do is they come in and they say, listen, how would you like to take a I take a weekend golf. There was one guy that got a $50,000 golf something or other. So he went on a golfing trip of some kind, cost $50,000, and Abramoff paid for it. So how would you like to go golfing, Bob? Oh, yeah, I'd like to go golfing. Good. You just go ahead and go golfing. I'll pay for it. Now, that's legal. So the senator, he goes out and he goes golfing. And then one day, Abramoff comes in and says, hey, let me call in my markers. You owe me one. That's what Rumsfeld did. Hey, I've got some political markers out there. You owe me one. And I want aspartame approved. Or, you know, like the pharmaceutical industry did Dick Armey. You know, Dick Armey snuck in this provision that you can't sue a pharmaceutical company for damages that are caused by vaccines. So if you go down and get a vaccine and it causes you some damage, you can't sue the vaccine maker. Isn't that special? That's the kind of lying, double-dealing treachery that you're dealing with in politics, which is why God told you to butt out of politics and pay attention to the judiciary. You follow my law. I'll make the laws. You sit down, shut up, and follow them. We said, oh, no, no. We're going to elect Dianne Feinstein and Ted Kennedy and Arlen Specter, and they're going to make our laws for us. And God, you can kiss off. So he did. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, God said, okay, I'll butt out. I'll let you have Dianne Feinstein, Arlen Specter, and Ted Kennedy make your laws for you. And then when this gets to be more than you can handle, don't call me, I'll call you. And he said in verse 18 of chapter 8, he said, now, when you pray to me and say, give us some relief, I'm not going to hear you. So you don't need to pray to Jesus about aspartame in your Oreo cookies because God's already told you, I ain't listening to this crap. So you better come up with a better solution than that. God ain't listening. He ain't paying attention. He ain't going to solve your problem. He already told you that. Now, you got poison in your food, and you are the proximate cause of your own injury, and politics is the root cause of your injury. It's a political problem, and you're not going to solve that. So what I've done is very simple. I don't eat out of the supermarket. I don't buy aspartame. I don't use Equal. I don't use refined sugar. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't ever eat a Hershey bar or that I won't ever drink a cup of coffee. But you know what? Let your conscience be your guide and use your head. Remember, you're the proximate cause of your own injury. If you eat the stuff and die therefrom, well, then you've been told, haven't you? I mean, if I told you, hey, that glass of wine has got about 3 grams of arsenic in it, it tastes good. You're going to love that wine. It's a vintage year, but it's got arsenic in it. You want to drink it? You've been told. Now make up your mind. Now, 1981, remember, in July of 1981, Arthur Hull Hayes Jr. overruled the Public Board of Inquiry's recommendation that aspartame should not be approved for marketing. And so it was done by one man, bought and paid for in the Reagan administration in 81. Since no new testing had been done by Searle, more than 90% of the questionable tests submitted to the FDA had been done prior to 76, and Hayes also cited a study done by a Japanese firm, Searle's Japanese licensee. How do you think they're going to report back? To justify his decision, even though his study had never been examined. The Japanese study had never been examined. But we're going to use it anyway. Dr. Alexander Schmidt, the FDA commissioner, from 72 to 76, said in a 1984 interview that Searle's testimony was incredibly sloppy. Searle's testing was incredibly sloppy, and that and what was discovered was reprehensible. He also said that some of Searle's tests were poorly conceived, carelessly executed, and inaccurately analyzed or reported. In other words, they lied. Searle and the FDA frequently and absurdly point to the fact that aspartame has been approved in more than, 60 countries and by the World Health Organization as the evidence of safety, even though Robert Shapiro, head of NutraSweet, confirmed that the approvals had essentially been based on the inconclusive and controversial tests that they had submitted to the FDA. Okay, so big deal. So Kuala Lumpur or Malaysia or Peru or Ecuador or some other country approves the use of aspartame based upon these faulty, lying reports put in by Searle to the FDA, and they're relying upon our FDA. So, that makes it good. It is significant that Dr. Goyan, I guess, G-O-Y-A-N, a FDA commissioner prior to Hayes, refused to approve aspartame for human consumption in spite of Searle's 6-year-long attempts to establish safety. The FDA approval of NutraSweet as a food additive makes it exempt from continued safety monitoring, and therefore, G.D. Searle is not obligated to monitor adverse reactions associated with NutraSweet, nor submit any further reports to the FDA of such adverse reactions. Now, in a drug like Vioxx, they get it approved, and then they have to do follow-up studies for 10 years or so and report any adverse reactions. That's with drugs. But aspartame, NutraSweet, is not a drug. It is a food additive. Now, when it was developed, it was a drug. But they couldn't get approval as a drug, so they made it a food additive. Isn't that just real special? It's kind of like thalidomide. That thalidomide caused birth defects, and it was so gross and it was so bad they had to pull it off the market as a use as a sedative. Now they've got it back. Thalidomide is a drug now, and it's still being used. just like it always has, but not for pregnant women, and it has to be prescribed by a doctor for a different use. You know, boys and girls, these drugs are the art of the apothecary. They are witchcraft. Witchcraft, that's what it is. Strictly prohibited, a capital felony, punishable by death by God Almighty, prohibited in the scripture, and these are the results that you get from it. So when you're taking this drug, aspartame, now called a food additive, in your cookies, you're practicing witchcraft, and the penalty for that is death, and you are, in fact, suffering death, which is one of 92 side effects that you get from it. So you're not getting away with anything, boys and girls, by eating or drinking aspartame or Diet Coke. And if you say, well, I didn't know that. Since when do you have to know something? Since when is it that if you don't know something and you're ignorant, you don't suffer the penalty, or there's some kind of a special dispensation for you? Man, come on, guys. You don't have to know anything about trans fat to die from it. You don't have to be an expert on cancer to get cancer and die. You don't have to know that if you eat fat, you'll plug up your arteries and develop atherosclerosis and die of a heart attack or a stroke. You don't have to have that information. When you break a law, there's a penalty. Whether you know what the law is or don't know what the law is, you still pay the penalty. Cause and effect. It's just natural. You don't have to know anything about the law of gravity to fall down. You know, you want to step off the Empire State Building and say, gosh, I didn't know about the law of gravity. I didn't know anything about Sir Isaac Newton and apples falling to the ground. About halfway down, gosh, I was really ignorant. I didn't know. There should be a special angel bear me up on his wings because I was ignorant. Come on, kids. Now, according to a memo dated August 20th, 1973 by Martha M. Freeman, M.D., the FDA Division of Metabolic and Endocrine Drug Products, that was sent to Dr. C.J. Cocosi, Division of Toxicology, concluded that the administration of aspartame, as reported in studies at high dosage levels for prolonged periods, constitutes clinical investigational use of a new drug substance. Now, that's a memo by Martha M. Freeman, M.D., at the FDA Division of Metabolic and Endocrine Drug Products. Here was a doctor at FDA said, this is a new drug substance. You know, you can call it whatever you want, but the FDA said that it was a drug. Between 1979 and 82, four more FDA officials who participated in the approval of NutraSweet took jobs linked to the NutraSweet industry. Did you get that? Let me repeat that. It's very common. Between 79 and 82, four more FDA officials who participated in the approval of NutraSweet took jobs linked to the NutraSweet industry. Payoff time. Payoff time. Now, if you think the FDA is working for you, why don't you get after it and eat some more? And by the way, here's the names. S.M. Pape, P-A-P-E, Health and Human Services Associate Chief Counsel for Foods from October of 76 to March of 79, and Special Assistant to the FDA Commissioner from March to December of 79. This is one of the guys that got paid off. His name is S.M. Pape. Sherwin Gardner got paid off. He was the FDA Deputy Commissioner between October of 73 and December of 79, and Acting Commissioner at various times. Mike Taylor, attorney involved with the Public Board of Inquiry, and Albert Colby, K-O-L-B-Y-E, was Associate Director of the Bureau of Foods for Toxicology. These four guys got paid off by getting jobs in the NutraSweet. NutraSweet took jobs linked to the NutraSweet industry. That takes us up to 1982. Hang on, I got to give you a reminder, and we'll be back with a conclusion here on this thing called aspartame. You're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School at area code 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, however, or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of the authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. And by the way, the viewpoints of these various partisans are not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program and mine alone, they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management or staff of this network or local radio station, or the NutraSweet industry. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to the website georgegordon.org or call the Law School Direct 417-273-4967. Again, that's georgegordon.org. That's the webpage. Or you can call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing an article here on aspartame. This week we're talking about aspartame. Is it good for you? Only if your brain did. All right, now this is compiled from volumes of available published information by Aspartame Consumer Safety Network. So if you look up Aspartame Consumer Safety Network in a search engine, I'm sure that you can get this report. This is not off the web, but I'll just bet you could probably get it off the web. Well, let me give you their address and telephone number. It may still be good. I don't know if it is or not. The Aspartame Consumer Safety Network was at P.O. Box 780-634, 780-634, Dallas, Texas, 75378. And their telephone number was 214-352-4268. Now, that was in 1990. My address and telephone number hasn't changed. It's been the same here since 1968. So maybe theirs is still good. It's called the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network. And telephone number 214-352-4268. I haven't checked that out to see if it's good or not. P.O. Box 780-634, Dallas, Texas, 75378. I think I'd look them up on the webpage. Now, I have looked up a number of articles, and I have seen references in fairly recent articles to this Aspartame Consumer Safety Network. So I assume they're still in operation, still in business. And, of course, they're a political organization, and they're trying to rid America, probably rid the world of this aspartame poisoning. That's like trying to rid the administration of the war in Iraq. Ain't going to happen. Now, Senator Robert Byrd, Democrat, remember that guy, Democrat of West Virginia? And here's another one. Senator Howell Heflin, chairman of the Senate Ethics Committee, proposed an amendment altering laws covering U.S. patent extension of aspartame. Senator Orrin Hatch led a five-minute discussion on the floor, Senate floor advocating the extension. He is the chairman of the Labor and Human Resources Committee that must clear all legislation under its jurisdiction before it may be brought to the floor for debate. But in this instance, the system was bypassed. The patent for NutraSweet was extended by an amendment to the Orphan Drug Act. According to public information, it was enacted specifically with Searle in mind. So Senator Orrin Hatch, that good Mormon senator from Utah, led a five-minute discussion on the Senate floor advocating the extension. Now listen, normally you go out and you invent something, and then you have this exclusive patent right for 17 years, and then it expires and anybody can make it. Now you got to have some real political connections and political clout to walk in to the Senate of the United States of America and have a special law enacted for you, just the Searle Company, to extend your patent for another period of time. I don't know how long it was, but and have a prominent senator like Orrin Hatch do it for you. Isn't that just special? I thought you'd like that. Now, the Searle campaign contribution. Senator Robert Byrd, Democrat of West Virginia, brought amendment up for vote on Heflin's behalf. Representative Henry Waxman, Democrat of California, sponsored the Orphan Drug Act. Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah, spoke in behalf of it. And Senator Howell Heflin, Democrat of Alabama, sponsored it. Okay, so you got Senator Byrd, Henry Waxman, now he's a representative, Senator Orrin Hatch, and Senator Howell Heflin. Those are pretty good guys to have on your team, don't you think, in the Senate? That's why lobbying works well. Politics works well for multinational corporations. It's just that it doesn't work for Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife driving truck and fixing cars as Mr. Goodrich. In 1983, the National Soft Drink Association wrote to the FDA warning them that aspartame breaks down in unexplained ways in warmer climates. Searle had not demonstrated aspartame to be safe and functional for use in soft drinks and may cause changes in brain chemistry. Their concern is puzzling in light of their later acceptance, demonstrated by the inclusion of aspartame in all of their diet sodas. Now, the National Soft Drink Association knows that this aspartame is bad for you, but they put it in anyway. You know, if you came to dinner and sat down at my table and I said, gee, let me serve you some NutraSweet. Let me serve you some aspartame. After what I have just told you over the last 5 days concerning this thing of aspartame, and I serve it to you at my table, what would you think of that? Boys and girls, do you believe for a moment that Senator Hatch, Senator Byrd, or Senator Heflin, or Henry Waxman knows less about aspartame than George Gordon? Do you believe that the National Soft Drink Association, who wrote to the FDA and warned them that aspartame breaks down in unexplained ways in warmer climates, doesn't know that aspartame has 92 symptoms, that it's a toxic poison, that it's a drug, that it is dangerous, that it kills people? Do you believe for a minute that Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Pizza Hut, and these multinational corporations that serve this stuff to you don't know what it is and what it does? Do you believe that? My God, I'm just a crummy plumber, but I'm not brain dead. These people have letters after their names. These people know something. These people are somebody. I mean, my God, I'm Senator Orrin Hatch, senator from Utah. Don't you think he went to college? Don't you think he has letters after his name? Don't you think he's a real smart guy? Did you think that Donald Rumsfeld is a brain dead aborigine from the Belgian Congo? Come on, guys, wake up. Now, their concern is puzzling in light of their later acceptance. This is the National Soft Drink Association. After they wrote to the FDA and warned them, said, hey, geez, this stuff breaks down in unexplained ways when we ship our Coca-Cola to Saudi Arabia. And then you guys come back from Saudi Arabia and you get this Gulf War syndrome and you say, gosh, I just don't know what's the matter with me. I think I'll go down to the Veterans Administration and have them look at me and see what they can find out. And then the Veterans Administration doctors say, hey, this is all in your head, dummy. You don't have these symptoms. Now, you guys that are coming back, you know, from the Gulf War, both the present one and the past one, keep in mind that these soft drinks that you were drinking over there were, at some point in time, trucked across the desert at 120 degrees. This stuff turns to formaldehyde at 86 degrees. It turns to methyl alcohol, which is a very toxic stuff. Hey, toxic stuff. And then you drink it. Well, of course, you drink it cold. Well, they cooled it back down. So they heated it up and they cooled it back down. This stuff is in your cookies and your cakes and your various food products, especially if it's sugar-free. And you're eating this stuff, and then you're coming down with symptoms, and these symptoms are unexplained. Now, if you get this report and take a look at these symptoms, these 92 symptoms, and I've repeated them for you twice now in this series of programs, so just go back in our archives and pull out some of these programs and get these 92 symptoms or get some of these reports from the source, like the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network, or from Mercola, M-E-R-C-O-L-A.com. That's a couple of them. Just type aspartame into a search engine, for crying out loud, and you'll come up with about 20 documents. And then they'll tell you what your problem is, and then maybe you can solve your problem. For most Americans, for the average Joe Sixpack listening to this program, this just goes right off of you like water off a duck's back. It doesn't mean jack squat. I've been drinking this stuff for years. It feels good, and I love it. One of these days, you'll come down with some kind of a toxic side effect, and you'll die from it, and you won't know what killed you, and your death certificate will say you died from Alzheimer's disease or something else. But a few of you out there are going to sit there, like I told you on the last program or one before that. I probably had about 15 letters come in from the one-hour program I did back in 2002 or 3, just kind of touching on the subject. I didn't hit it in any great way, but I did a one-hour program. And from that and from the archives, I probably had 10 or 15 letters, and they said, hey, God, I didn't know that. And I took this aspartame 60-day test. I got off of it, and geez, my symptoms went away. Well, that's reasonable. I mean, if you take soda pop totally off the market, I mean, if you just outlawed soda pop, period, you would see that diabetes would decrease. There'd be a decrease. When they took thimerosal out of the vaccines in California, autism took a marked decline. It just nosedived. You can't believe the FDA, the USDA, or your medical doctor, your allopathic medical physician. Now, that doesn't mean that allopaths are bad guys per se, but you know, they're business people. They're entrepreneurs. They're in business to make money. You can't blame a doctor for wanting to make money. You can't blame these people at the FDA for wanting to make money or for taking a job with NutraSweet. But by God, you can sure as hell blame them for putting toxic poisons out in the marketplace and killing people. That's not very ethical in the pursuit of money. I don't blame people for wanting to make a good living and to improve their living standards. But killing people, spreading toxic poisons in the food chain to make money, you call that ethical? You call that righteous? 1983, Commissioner Hayes of the FDA approved NutraSweet for soft drinks 2 months before he left office. Hayes resigns while Department of Health and Human Services is investigating his acceptance of gratuities, including free rides aboard General Foods jet. General Foods is a major NutraSweet user. So this guy Hayes, remember, he's not taking bribes. He's just taking free rides aboard the General Foods jet. Now, that's what we know about. What you don't know about, what you didn't hear, are the other perks and benefits that he received that you don't know anything about. But you can rest assured that if he's taking free rides on the General Foods jet, he's getting other perks from other companies and corporations. And then when he leaves the FDA, he's going to take a job just like Donald Rumsfeld did, you know, with Searle and Company. All of these politicians, when they leave office, did you ever notice how they go out and they take jobs with universities and corporate America? You know, that's payback time. Anthony Brunetti, the FDA consumer product officer who drafted the notice approving NutraSweet and soft drinks, later accepted a position with the Soft Drink Association as a science advisor. So he got a job. And by 1980, the National Collaborative Study for Maternal PKU had recommended that during pregnancy, blood phenylalanine levels should not exceed 6 milligrams per kg per day. 6 milligrams per kilogram per day. 50 milligrams per kilogram day of aspartame can produce 10 milligram plus per day of blood phenylalanine. Even as early as 1963, researchers Kang and Payne reported in the Journal of Pediatrics that normal metabolism is altered during pregnancy and phenylalanine may rise to 3 times preconception levels. Allowable daily intake for aspartame was initially set at 20 milligrams per kilogram per day. Now, a kilogram is about 2 pounds. All right, so if you weigh 200 pounds, that's about 100 kilograms, 20, that'd be 100 kilograms, and you could take in 20 milligrams times 100, 20 is 2,000 milligrams a day is what a 200-pound person is permitted to take. That's their recommendation. You know, that's a recommendation which says, in effect, well, you know, arsenic's a deadly poison, so therefore you should restrict your daily arsenic intake to around 20 milligrams a day. That'd be okay. That's the safe level. Oh, come on, kids, let's grow up. I don't think that there's any safe level of arsenic, cyanide, or toxic poison, do you? Anyway, your body weight, if you weigh 200 pounds, 2,000 milligrams would be the recommended daily allowance. In 1983, the FDA disregarded Section 170.22 of Title 21 of the Code of Federal Regulations, which would have limited the safe daily intake of diet drinks to only 2 cans per day, and they raised the acceptable maximum daily intake of aspartame to 50 milligrams per kg per day, maximum milligram of a toxic substance per kilogram of body weight per day. I wonder why they raised it by two and a half times. Do you suppose maybe some lobbyists came in there from the soda pop industry and said, gee, we ought to raise it? So that instead of 2 cans a day, you can drink 6. You see, any time that there's a problem, they just raise the limits. They do that with air pollution. They do it with water pollution. You know, this raise the limits. I don't know what the safe limits are, but I would say that any is more than you ought to be drinking. When diet soda sweetened with aspartame are used to replace fluid loss during physical exertion in hot climates, the intake of methanol can exceed 250 milligrams a day. Or 32 times the Environmental Protection Agency's recommended limit of consumption of the cumulative toxin. Now remember that this aspartame is cumulative just like heavy metals. So let's suppose that 3 grams of arsenic will kill you, but you're only taking in 20 milligrams. Okay, but 20 milligrams today and 20 tomorrow and 20 the next day, and pretty soon you got 3 grams and that's enough to kill you. It's cumulative. Same thing with this aspartame. It's cumulative. It's a very slow poison. It takes a lot of it, and it works very slowly. And aspartame doesn't kill. It's just like AIDS. AIDS doesn't kill. It's the opportunistic disease that kills. By 1984, 7 million pounds of NutraSweet were consumed in the United States annually. The Department of Agriculture estimated worldwide use at 414,575 tons. Sales amounted to $600 million by 1985. Sales were expected to be in excess of $1 billion. Current sales figures are no longer made available to the public. Now that's $1 billion by 1990. Now, you can rest assured that it's a multi-billion dollar a year industry, but we don't tell you how much we're selling. We don't want you to know that. Aspartame was approved in children's chewables and multivitamins. Woodrow Monty, Ph.D., Director of Science and Nutrition Laboratory of Arizona State University. Dr. Monty states that there are no human or mammalian studies to evaluate the possible mutagenic or carcinogenic effects of chronic intake of methyl alcohol, methanol, a component of aspartame. And Dr. Monty was granted a hearing in April of 1985 on his petition to ban NutraSweet. The Arizona legislature used a rare maneuver to change state law without public notice to bar state regulation of FDA-approved food additives. The measure passed under the misleading title of Toxic Waste Bill. In 1984, Dr. Woodrow Monty's efforts to force tough Arizona state restrictions on NutraSweet was politically crushed through the concerted efforts of Searle. Searle hired lobbyists Andrew Hurwitz, Governor Babbitt's former chief of staff, Charles Pine, an Arizona lobbyist, Roger Thiest, a Searle lawyer, and David West, a Searle official. Between 79 and 84, Searle hired up to a dozen lobbyists. The United Press International traced nearly $200,000 in campaign contributions. Included were the following people: House Majority Leader Burton Barr, Representatives Don Altridge, Karen Mill, and Jan Brewer. Remember what I said? Hell, if they won't vote for it, just buy them. We have the best Congress that money can buy. Too bad you don't have enough money to buy a little of it, huh? So the FDA, Dr. Richard Workman, and Dr. Woodrow C. Monty have received over 1,000 written complaints relative to aspartame consumption, the most numerous being dizziness, visual impairment, disorientation, ear buzzing, pancreatitis, tunnel vision, loss of equilibrium, severe retinal hemorrhaging, menstrual flow changes, and depression. Louis J. Elias, MD, Director of Medical Genetics, Emory University School of Medicine. Notice these guys all have credentials, don't they? Dr. Elias did a study which found the effects of phenylalanine on two groups ranging in age from 8 to 24 years was to affect their reaction time and to reduce the production of adrenaline-like chemicals in the brain. He also stated that both pregnant women and infants should not consume foods containing aspartame because of the danger of it causing brain damage to the fetus or the infant. So you pregnant mothers out there, why don't we have another Diet Coke? Well, I'm about out of time here. I got another minute left. Let me give you a reminder that this is a report from the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network. It's dated 1990. I'm using this report because it's the only report that I have or that I know of that traces the history from 1969 until aspartame was approved in 1981 and gives you the blow-by-blow, year-by-year, and the names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence of all of the culprits that are involved. They probably have a more updated version if I'd get my Patudian gear. I could probably get that for you, but this is the 1990 report. All right, so I'm about out of time. Let me give you a final reminder. We'll take this up again next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, which you're listening to right now. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening and good night, friends.